That is what Calvary says. Amen. What a blessing that is. Proof positive of the very love of God for humanity. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. We're going to be reading this morning verse 4 down to verse 14. Philippians in chapter 3. Verse 4, if you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to do so. As we read the Word of God, as I read it, you follow right along with me. Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. What a blessing it has already been just being in church today. The help that you have already provided for all that are seeking your help. And now as we have looked into this precious holy word that is the very mind of the Creator God, we need to understand it. We desire to understand it. So I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. I ask, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Last week we started, even on Sunday mornings, a series I want to stay in for a few weeks here, based on John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus presented, he said in verse 10 of chapter 10 of John, the thief, which is the devil, the Bible is very clear about that, he cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what humanity faces today. An evil influence, which is Satan, is behind all of it. Even though you can't see him, he is behind all evil. He is the father of evil. He's a liar and a deceiver. There's no truth in him. And he cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. But then Jesus said this, I am come. This is God the Son who was there in creation, who always has been. He came and was manifested in the flesh, and he says, I am come that they, people, humanity, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And what I want to focus on for the next several weeks is this idea of life. Not just the life of the flesh, but the life that God brings to us, which is life more abundantly. You see, because the devil has a stronghold over physical life because of a sin nature. Across the board, around the world, the devil has a stronghold in every individual's life because every man, woman, child has a sin nature. Jesus came to set us free from that bondage of sin and give us spiritual life, which is life more abundantly. Last Sunday, we began this, and the idea was the main hindrance to this spiritual life is sin. And so, if we truly want the abundant life and the blessings of life that God wants us to have, then we have to sin not. Pretty basic stuff right there. We have to just turn away from it. And no one can force you. The devil can't make you do anything. If you sin, it's because you chose to sin. And we need to sin not. Today, the next great hindrance to this life that God wants us to live and enjoy as abundant life is getting past our past. Getting past our past, which took us to Philippians in chapter 3. Can I tell you that we all have a past, and because of a past, we live with scars. Sin scars. From the very first sin that you commit as a human being to the last sin that you'll commit as a human being has scarred you. Sin, because that is the main hindrance to abundant life, scars. Scars from past sins, scars from past failures, scars from past hurts, scars from past missed opportunities, scars. The devil would love to use those scars to steal, kill, and destroy. In Philippians in chapter 3, we find the apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest servants of the Lord. He wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. Yeah, God used him greatly. Paul summarizes his life in chapter 3 of Philippians. And as we think of Paul, we have to acknowledge that Paul lived an abundant life. He was able to go and he viewed the third heaven, the abode of God. Paul would, if you could hear him tell you today, he lived the life that Christ wanted him to live. And it was an abundant life. It was a spiritual life that brought him all the joy that you could imagine, the peace, even going through the physical infirmities and the trials and the battles. But he had the help and the blessings of God upon his life. He had and lived an abundant life. And he summarizes it. He begins with verses 4 through 6, what he achieved before Christ. I mean, to look at his resume as far as what he was able to accomplish before he got saved, you would say, well, this man had just about everything that he would have wanted. This was his flesh or his physical life. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh more. If anybody thinks that they have gotten more out of life than me in this physical life, no, I'm here to tell you that I received everything that I wanted in life. I was able to accomplish what I sought out to accomplish in my flesh. And that's what he's presenting of his past life, what he achieved. Verse 7 to 9 is what Paul willingly gave up after his encounter with Christ and was made aware of spiritual life. He didn't have spirit, and no one has spiritual life until you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because before you receive Christ as your Savior, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead in your spiritual life and your fellowship and your walk with God. You just don't have it, because the only way to have it is through the blood. And you believe that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. And when you acknowledge the fact that he died for your sins, and you are a sinner, and you deserve the wages of sin, then you can receive the gift of everlasting life and the beginning of spiritual life, which is abundant life. So once Paul, on that Damascus road, encountered Christ and believed in him, verse 7, 9 says what he was willing to give up. Verse 7, for what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things in this flesh, and I do count them worthless, but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, because that's not abundant life. Thinking I'm more righteous than anyone else. No, abundant life comes when I acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. Not that I'm righteous and I'm good enough. No. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's the only way that you have this abundant life, the spiritual life, is through faith and looking to Jesus Christ. In verse 10 we find here, and this again, Paul summarizes his life right here, and what Paul desired in this life is found in verse 10, that I might know him. Now that I've experienced his spiritual life, I understand it's through Christ, I want to know more about him. I trust that's why you're here in church today. Because you believe that if you came to this church is going to open up God's word, and you're going to have an understanding and receive a better understanding of the Bible, the scriptures. And as you have a better understanding of the Bible, you have a better understanding of God. That I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. To know Jesus as God, the power of his resurrection. To identify with him, his humanity, and conform to do his will for my life is what Paul was describing right there in verse 10. I think that he presents it very clearly over in the book of Romans. Let me just read it to you. It's a well-known passage of scripture too, but in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul writes this. and be not conformed to this world. You're not going to find abundant life, the life that God has for us to live, looking to this world and conforming to the beliefs and the ways of this world. And he says, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. I love that. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what Paul was doing to lead up to his abundant life. And then verse 12, what Paul knew he would have to do to live this abundant life or spiritual life. In verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were all already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul knew he would have to follow after Christ. If I'm going to live the life that Jesus brought to me, and it's going to be abundant life, more than any other kind of life you could ever live. And as you yield to the life of Christ, you will find that it is abundant life. But in order for me to live the life that Jesus Christ brought to me and allows me to have an opportunity to live, I must follow after him. And if I'm going to follow after him, it brings me to verse 13 and 14, which is the message I want to preach to you this morning, getting past our past. Getting past your past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I trust that that spoke to you. Getting past our past. Can I tell you that too many believers, I'm talking about those that have received Jesus Christ, and you could be living the abundant life, but you're not living the abundant life and finding the joy in living the abundant life that God wants you to find in the living the abundant life. Too many are hung up on their past. The first thing that he said is what we need to focus on first of all. We must forget the past. Forget, that is, move past those things that are keeping you from abundant life. Getting past my past is moving past those things that are a hindrance that the devil is using because they're scars. All of those things we mentioned earlier, those things can scar you. And if you don't move past those scars will limit you. But Jesus says, I'm come that you can have the life that I want you to have. And when you understand what this life is, you can have it and enjoy it more abundantly. Now, Paul, Apostle Paul, understood that very clearly, and he wrote God's word. Paul wrote it, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I still enjoy fishing. I don't fish as much as I used to because I play golf. but longtime church members in heaven today, but Brother Melrose Ellis, when I think about this, I always think of lessons learned from the wisdom of Melrose Ellis. We was out on the boat. I'm in the middle seat. There's Melrose up front. I don't know. It might have been Cliff or Steve, one of the boys in the back. And we're out there. And I don't know if you're familiar with fishing. Every now and then, you get on the water at the right time. And they call it a feeding frenzy. I mean, the barometric pressure is just what it ought to be, and everything else is going on, and the fish are just, they turn on. Now, fish can turn on and they can turn off. Most of the time, you go fishing, they said, well, you should have been here yesterday. Yeah, because they was biting yesterday, and you out there, and you catch nothing. You said, sure, I'm sure they were, yes, yes. But this time, with three of us in the boat, we got out there, and I mean, the fish turned on. They were every cast. Well, the very first cast I put out there when they were catching them, I got hung up. And I'm hung up in a tree. Yeah, yeah, I cast it too far. There's no tree bass out there, you know, so I wasn't catching any. I'm hung up, and my lure is in the tree, and I am trying to get it out of the tree, whether it's Steve or Cliff or one of them on this side, Mel's on the front, and they were just pulling them in left and right, one after the other. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're catching fish. I'm hung up on this tree. And Melrose, as only Melrose could say it, he said, cut your line. He was telling me, I'm not going to stop fishing to go get you unhooked. If you want to catch the fish that we're catching right now, then you're going to have to cut that line and put another lure on, and then you can fish and catch fish the way that we're catching them right now, because it's a fishing frenzy, and I'm not stopping just because you got hung up. There's a lot of blessings that you're missing out on today. In the abundant life that God wants us to live, because you're hung up. You're looking around, you're seeing this person, this and that. You wonder, why not me? I want to have that kind of joy. I want to have that kind of prayer life. I want to sense the Lord's presence. I want... But all the time, you're hung up. What you need to do, cut your line. Forget about that lure that's on that line. If you want to catch fish, you're going to have to put another one on and move forward. Too many are hung up over the scars of past sins. Too many are hung up on the scars of past failures. I tried it before. Today's not like before. Today's a new day. I can't put myself out there anymore. I tried it before, and this happened, and that happened, and you can't understand. I don't need to. You're hung up. If you're going to move past those scars, and you're going to live the life that God has for you to live today, You got to get past your past. You hung up over a hurt. How many, do you realize how many people are not in church today because they got hurt by a church member, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, deacon, or just somebody who wouldn't shake their hand? And they're allowing that to keep them from the abundant life. Disappointments, past disappointments, missed opportunities. Missed opportunities. Why didn't God bless this? And why didn't this and that? And hung up. We need to forget, put it behind you. Can I tell you, that idea of forgetting, you can never forget. It's in your mind. But there's such a thing called a subconscious mind. Take it out of your conscious mind. You can take it out of your conscious mind where it's not on your mind all the time. Now, it's going to always stay on your subconscious mind. The old devil will try to use that and bring it back up later on, sometimes even in dreams. A subconscious mind is probably the closest thing to the spiritual realm of things that we can understand. All of us have a subconscious mind. And in that subconscious mind, every thought you've ever had is stored there. Every feeling you've ever felt is stored there. Everything that you've ever enjoyed or hurt or hated in your life, it's stored there. But I don't need to keep it on my conscious mind. I keep on my conscious mind the things I want to keep on my conscious mind. I reject the other thoughts. And when you reject that thought, it might be stored, but it's not in my conscious. I'm not thinking about it all the time. It's in that subconscious mind. Forget it, meaning put it out of your mind. Don't let the devil, it's ammunition that he has to work against you. He'll always have that. That is the scars of those sins, but you don't have to allow him to put it back in your conscious mind when he tries to put it back in your conscious mind and try to make you suggest the very same things to do it again. You can put it out. You control your conscious mind. And in your conscious mind, you can forget. But you have to choose to do it. And you have to sometimes continue to put it out of your mind until it stays out. It could be every day. I have to put it out of my mind. To stop thinking about that person who hurt me. As long as you continue to allow that thought, he will continue to hurt you. It will continue to limit you. That's when you get hung up. No, cut the line. Choose to forget. Choose to put it out. And when you put that out, replace it with a positive thought. Whenever time the old devil tries to bring this thought up, say, no, devil, I put that out of my mind. This is what I choose to think about that. Amen. We all are designed the very same way. Satan will want you to think that you're different. No, God designed the brain. God designed humanity. We all are under the same design. Some just choose to cut the line. And others choose to stay hung up. getting past your past. Forget. The second thing that we find that Paul presents is reaching forth. Verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth to what God has in front of you, which he calls those things. A thing, do you know how many definitions there are or things that you can define as a thing? There's no limit. There's no limit. There's no limit to what God might be trying to bring into your life for good. But you're hung up with all those negative scars. And yet God has things in front for your life. You reach for them. Reaching forth to what God has in front of you, which allows us to have a purpose. If you ever give up on having a purpose for life, the devil will continue. He will destroy your life. That's where people get to that place who take their lives. I think I mentioned that last week. 1.38 million attempted suicides in the United States last year. No purpose to live. Get past your past by acknowledging you have a future. Get past your past by understanding that God has you here with a purpose. Yeah. Whatever God has in mind for those things, that's his personal will for your life. One day, I will preach my last sermon. It's coming. I don't think it's today. Yeah. Whether I die or whether the rapture takes place or my mind leaves me. One day, I will preach my last sermon. I've been preaching for 43 years. I don't know how many sermons that would have been. 5 years as a youth pastor, associate pastor, going on 37 as a pastor. Until that day, I'm going to reach forth to the next one. I'm looking forward to preaching tonight. Yeah. And after tonight's sermon, it could be my last one, but I'm not focused on that. I'm focused after tonight's message, I'm focused on Wednesday night's message. Because that's what's before me. That's what God has been doing in my life. That's what God has me here for right now. It's what I press forward for. It's what I'm preparing myself for. That's what I continue to do because that's God's will for my life. That gives me the purpose that I have. And in that purpose that I have and understanding I'm in God's will, I can understand the blessings of that abundant life. Early on in my ministry, I focused too much on my past sermons. On Monday, I would think, well, you really blew it yesterday. why didn't you add this, this, and that to the sermon? And why did you have to say what you said? You didn't use proper English there, you know. My wife keeps me informed on that most of the time. And it would take me Monday and Tuesday just to get over my blunders on Sunday. Until I realized that Sunday's past. I've got another Sunday coming up. Now what I do on Monday is I immediately get into the next Sunday's messages. I put that behind me. I learned that I can't do anything about that. I'm going to put that behind. I'm not going to keep that even in my conscious mind. Unless it was a really good one, I might keep it on my conscious mind for a little while. But I am going to put that in my subconscious mind, and I'm going to move on to what's before me. All of us can do that. Your things are different than my things, but you have things. You have things. Those things. And the last thing this morning. The third thing Paul presents. I press toward the mark. Focus on the mark. The mark is what Jesus came to establish. With life and having it more abundantly. Having it more abundantly is not looking back, but looking forward to not only this life, but eternal life. And John in chapter 11, and I'm closing with this, but John chapter 11, right after Jesus taught on chapter 10 about life and having it more abundantly, in John chapter 11, verse 25, he says this, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And now you have life. You were dead spiritually, but now you have life. He didn't stop there. And then he said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The peace that passeth all understanding is the peace of knowing I have everlasting life. When my life on this earth comes to an end, I'm not dying. My life has just begun. My abundant life that God has for me will be forever. And if you're saved, so will yours. Get past your past and start enjoying the abundant life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I'm never going to die, so I can enjoy that even today. I don't have to fear death. My time on this earth is over. I graduate to a better place. And I'll have it for an eternity if you receive the life that Jesus has for you to receive. Father, we bow before you now and love you. Thank you, Lord God, for understanding life. And what we need to do to be able to live and enjoy the abundant life. I pray that you would help each one to receive the message and leave here with a plan to apply it and truly enjoy the life that you have given to us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.